We're all in a battle. We all want to be faithful. This morning I plan to share a message that I prepared about 2 years ago, and I have been studying it the last little bit again in reference to the close of a new year and or a close of an old year, and thinking of a new year, I thought it may be fitting. I'd like to ask you a question this morning. Who remembers the theme for Summer Bible School in 2016? Anyone remember? Well, I don't blame you, because I probably wouldn't have either. But the theme was traveling the road of life. And my sermon was based kind of off of that inspiration. And I still remember the teacher brought in road signs. And he used road signs to illustrate that signs are used to give people directions. He had numerous ones up here on the board. And the teacher illustrated, or the teachers illustrated, that road signs were good to follow because of safety or direction or such. And, of course, the underlying focus was that the Bible is our source of direction on the road to life. I still also remember there's one sign that the teacher brought in, and the teacher said that, well, I'll just call it a bad sign. It was one that you don't follow on the road to life. Does anyone remember what that was? It was a detour sign. Thank you for that. And the teacher taught us that God doesn't place detour signs along the road of life. That's the enemy places those. And so we can never detour. Detour signs are placed to off-track us. They're to try to get us off the right road. And as I thought of these things, as we come to another close of a year and another New Year's before us, we have an opportunity this morning again to check our direction of travel. The message title is, Which Direction Are You Traveling? There is a right road that we travel, and there is a wrong road we could travel. There's two ways. No, we can travel the right road, but every one of us has the potential to be going the wrong way. And we can do this by ignoring the good road signs that we have. Now, if we ignore this book, and we don't follow on its directions, we don't live up to it, we have the potential to go wrong. And so I would like to ask this morning, have we detoured off the road of life? Have you detoured? Or are you still on that right road? And I would like for each of us to consider our status of route this morning. I like to look at Saul, an account in the Bible. You can turn to Acts chapter 9. Here we see that God is keenly interested in the path we are taking. And I believe God is faithful in showing us the direction that we need to go if we open our lives up to it. In this story, in Acts chapter 9, we have Saul dedicated to the cause of killing Christians because he wanted to get rid of them. He hated them, and he wanted to eliminate them. And you will see in this passage that Saul, in his passion, endeavors to carry out his plans. And you will also notice in this passage, in Acts chapter 9, that God puts a big road sign in front of Saul. And Saul is faced with a choice. And Saul stops in his tracks. Now, Saul thought that he was going the right way. He thought he was going the right way. He thought he was going the right road. But he was traveling the wrong way. And I'd just like for you to think about that for just a little bit of time here. Because that's a sobering thought to ponder. Could it be that we think we're going right, but we're actually going wrong? Something that we need to think about. And so we need to carefully consider the direction of our travel to ensure a safe route. As we come to this new year, we want to go right, and we can reflect last year and the years before, and hopefully we can look at our mistakes and we can see where we off-tracked, as it were, and change that. Because we cannot afford to come to the end of life and discover we're traveling the wrong road. So I want us to consider the question, which direction are you traveling? I'd like to read this passage. I think for the time being, I'd like to read verses 1 through 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. I'd like to stop there for now. And I'd like to look at some of this passage, some of the surroundings, some of Paul's character maybe. And I would like to give us some checkpoints this morning to help us consider the way we're traveling in life. Which direction are you traveling? The first one I'd like to look at here is called the determination. The determination, or we could say the firmness of purpose. And we see here that Saul had a determination. He was determined about something. He wanted to get rid of Christians. And if we give some foundation for this, we could turn to Philippians. I'm not planning to do that. We could turn to Philippians or Galatians. Philippians 3, Galatians 1, we could read about Saul and how he expressed himself above his equals and exceedingly zealous, and he persecuted the church of God. And there's four things that we could probably talk about or more that may have given foundation to why Saul had this determination. Number one, he was born into the right family. He was a Jew. He was God's chosen people. And so he had that on him. Do you ever feel like that kind of gives you the right? If you're born into the right family, you ever feel that way? Right to do, follow your actions. Does it give you any clout? And so we have Paul, this person that he was God's chosen people. He was one of God's men. Number two, he followed the Mosaic law blamelessly or in obedience. And so he knew the Old Testament, he knew the law, and he had studied it, and he had followed it, and he lived in obedience to it. And so it was just all the more reason why he should be right, because he knew what was in the Mosaic law. Thirdly, we could talk about time and energy that he spent in studying the law. And so I believe that Saul was filled with wisdom. He had a lot of wisdom, probably even possibly superior to most people. And fourthly, the religious functions were handed down for generations, and so he had a traditional way of life. His father may have done it, his grandfather, and so on. And so he had this. But he had this determination. And determination can be good, but it can be used for the wrong purpose. If it is rooted in a false security. And so we have here Saul being exceedingly zealous. But he was using his determination against Christ. Against Christ and his kingdom. Because he was operating on a wrong belief system. I'd like to ask a question or two this morning as we think of determination. Are we certain that the determination that we have in our heart is built from truth and sanctified by Jesus Christ? What kind of determination do you possess this morning? Is our determination to be more like Jesus and to build his kingdom? Is that the kind of determination we have as you think of traveling the road to life? What kind of determination do you possess? Saul, or Paul later in his life, gave this testimony in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." How would that be for a determination this coming year, to determine that the only thing that we're going to know in life is Jesus Christ? Wow, that's a tall order, as you can say. And so, you can check your determination. Number two, another checkpoint that we can look at is the goal that I have. Secondly, is the goal, or we could say plans. Saul felt that the Christians threatened what God wanted for his people. And so devout Saul makes plans to get rid of the Christians. First we see him killing Christians in Jerusalem, but then that wasn't good enough for him. He goes to the high priest and he gets permission to intensify his search as far as Damascus. I think if I have it right, that's 150 miles. And he wanted to go there, and he wanted to bring them back in chains. Now, I don't think they had fast-moving vehicles like we do today. So I want you to understand that this was quite a commitment. But he made this goal. He made this plan. This is what he was going to do. And we know that he traveled there. We'll look at that a little bit later. And so this, I like to talk about goals a little bit. Setting goals are a noble aspiration if they're in the will of God. At times, God may not approve of our goals, and we may blindly push ahead. When our first inspiration or aspirations don't work, then we just set higher goals to try to accomplish it. This past week, I believe I was doing something and it wasn't working out too well. I was trying hard and wasn't going. And finally, my little daughter says, "Are you sure it's the will of God for you to be doing this?" And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to be doing this. This is happening. I'm just going to work harder. I'm going to accomplish this. And it was something that I don't believe was necessarily a big thing. However, it was a reminder of our goals and plans. Sometimes we plan things and we make goals and they're not working out. But we decide that I don't care what it's going to take, we're going to do it. And here we have Saul making big plans and goals to accomplish his work. And I asked you this morning, what kind of goals are you setting for your life for 2019? Have you set any goals for your life? What are they? Maybe it's to make more money. Maybe it's to increase your business. You could put whatever in there. Are our goals going to take us away from God or spiritual things and bring us closer to friendship with idols of this world? Is our will incorporated with God's will? And so those are some questions we can ask as we think about planning for 2019. And here is a test you can run it past. James 4:15 says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Is all your plans, all your goals sanctified by the will of God? Something we can think about, a checkpoint as we think of traveling the road to life. The road to life. Number three, another checkpoint I like to consider is the pursuit. Or we could say put to actions, when you put your thoughts and your determinations to action. And here, determination in this passage was coupled with goals, and it had great potential. As I've already mentioned, Paul endeavored to travel 150 miles in search for these Christians. Saul was making an extreme stride to pursue catching Christians and to get rid of them because he wanted to kill them. And only God knew the intensity of his pursuit had he not kindly intervened. And I wonder what Saul must have felt like, or Paul later in his life, as he thought about all the people that he had hurt. But at the time, he was justifying this in the name of religion. And I believe it must have grieved him later on in his life. And I like to say that wrong determination and wrong goals will produce actions that will hurt us and those around us. I think we need to understand that our thoughts will eventually become actions. And most of us likely know the words of the song, "Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay." And I ask the question this morning, are our pursuits the kind of actions that we will be satisfied when we come to the close of 2019? Will we be satisfied with our pursuits? Or will we be filled with regret? Are our pursuits going to love others, or are they going to hurt others? Are there any pursuits that God would have you to give up because they're doing more harm than good? Something for us to think about as we think of the road to life in 2019. And if you want to do this, you can run your pursuits past this test. Colossians 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Not just what we do, but also what we say. Our words and our actions should be done in the name of Jesus. And on top of that, we need to be a thankful people. What a test for us. Fourthly, I would like to consider another checkpoint is the call. We find that in verse 4. We see here Jesus intervening in the plans that Saul had made. And there's four things I'd like to touch base on here. As we look at the call here, we see that God got Saul's attention by a bright light that shone from heaven. And we see here that Jesus speaks to Saul. This is something real. It's not just something fake. Jesus speaks to Saul. It's a reality. And he speaks to Saul. He also addresses him by his personal name. He gives it a personal touch. And then Jesus asks Saul a question to help him understand his actions. And so we see this dramatic happening that Saul could not miss. This was real. This was dramatic. Jesus was sending a roadblock, and Saul had a choice in how he was going to respond to this call. And today, Jesus is still speaking to us, is he not? God may use his word. God may use the circumstances of life. or that still small voice that just keeps speaking to us. And this voice can be easily missed, or it can be pushed aside. I don't think we should expect such a dramatic call as was experienced here in Acts chapter 9. Sometimes God may send them, but don't expect them. And so I ask the question this morning, are we listening to the voice of God? Are you listening to Him speak to you? Is there anything that God is trying to tell us that we're not listening because we have our goals and our determinations and we have our pursuits and they're crowding out that voice within our heart of God's direction? In the last year, has God asked anything of you? He said, I want you to do this, and you said, no, I'm just not going there. I ain't doing it. What about this test in John chapter 10, verse 27? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, as Christian people, I believe we need to continue to listen to the voice of God. And as He calls us, could be that maybe you haven't never given your heart to the Lord, and He's calling you because He wants you to accept Him as your Savior. Or maybe He wants to refine you or give you direction in your life. And He's saying, don't go this way. I'd rather if you go this way. And so, as you think of 2019, one of the checkpoints you can have is if you're listening to that call that God may be speaking to you. Fifthly, another checkpoint is, I just have it listed as the openness. And we see it in verse 5. Lord, who art thou? And Saul seems to ignore the question that Jesus had asked him in verse 4. Jesus had asked him, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul responds, who art thou, Lord? He didn't give a reason. He didn't really answer the question. He says, Lord, who are you? I don't believe Saul was being obstinate here, but I believe rather he was intent in finding out who was speaking to him. And I see this as a positive step in seeking truth. Saul was going his own way. He was doing his own thing. He had determination. He had goals. And finally, Saul gets to the place where he's asking a right question. Lord, who art thou, Lord? He was looking for truth. He was asking a question to help him find out the most important answer for his life. And I believe for us today that asking the right question is important for us as well. You know, sometimes we can ask questions because we want to take our own way, possibly. But asking the right questions will give us answers that we need. And sometimes I know it's easier not to want to know truth, because of what it might ask of us, because we think somehow if we don't know, maybe it'll lessen our accountability or our responsibility. But truth will direct us in the right way. And so I asked a question again this morning. Have we opened our life to truth? Have we asked God to show us the truth? Or are we saying, I'd rather not know? I'm not going to be open about that. I don't want to be that vulnerable in life. That would be too hard for me. I got this problem, but I'm not going to tell anyone. Not a problem. How about this test from 1 John 1, verse 7? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Or John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so as you think of 2019, how open do you plan to be in your life? It's a test that you can run past to help you understand if you're on the road to life. Number 6, another test is a revelation. And we find that in verse 5. Jesus introduces himself to Saul. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Jesus then tells Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Letting Saul know that he was fighting against God. And the words, I am Jesus, I'm sure spoke volumes to Saul. Because Jesus was the one that was supposed to have been dead and was still dead. At least according to the lies that were put out about him, about Christ. And here, Jesus shows up again in reality. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks could reveal the rebellion in Saul's life. And so here, Jesus confronted Saul with his rebellion. You're doing the wrong thing. This is hard for you. You're rebelling against me. And this revelation of Jesus was what Saul needed to help him realize he needed to change his life. He needed to change his course. You know, without that revelation of Jesus, every one of us would be lost. Jesus is our only hope. And the story of Jesus is simple. It is easy for anyone to understand. You don't need some professional training or teaching to help us understand that we're sinful beings. And that Jesus is the Savior of mankind. No, that's very simple. We just need to listen. Jesus is a road to life. And the sinner and the saint alike need the Lord Jesus. And again, whether you're unsaved and have never given your heart to the Lord, or whether we need that advocate with the Father, as a Christian who have sinned, we need Jesus. But sometimes we think that maybe there's a way around. Maybe no one will know it. Or maybe if I just do the right thing, it'll be okay. But finally, Jesus needs to be our Savior. We need him so much. And so I asked a question, do you accept Jesus? Do you accept Jesus as the only means of getting on the right road? You can run it past this test in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so anything other than Christ is going to fail. And so as we come to 2019, can remember that simple truth to keep turning back to Jesus. Because he is the one that will give us life. Number 7, another checkpoint we can see whether we're on the road to life is the surrender. And we see that in verse 6. Look at the different elements in this verse. Trembling. Paul was trembling. Paul seems to have changed his self-confident attitude to fear. There wasn't long ago that Saul in his confidence was heading those 150 miles to do his purpose, to put his goals into action, to put his determination into action, and now he was trembling. And he had fell to the earth. He was astonished or surprised. Maybe we could say he was somewhat ignorant. And then he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he was willing to step down and listen to advice. No longer was Saul so confident. No longer was he seeming to be at the wheel of his life as it looked before. And these different responses show us that Saul was now willing to lay aside his agenda and take God's agenda. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I know that surrender to God is probably the most difficult choice that we could ever make in life. But it's something that we need to keep doing. And so I asked a question, have we surrendered our will to the will of God? Have you surrendered that to God? Your determination, your goals, your pursuits in life, have you given that to God? Have you surrendered to the will of God so that you can enjoy a relationship with God and have confidence that you're on the right road? And how about running it past this test? In Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A goal you can have for 2019, to take up and follow Christ. Take up his cross and follow Christ. Another checkpoint, eighthly, I called it the direction in verse 6. Here, Jesus gives Saul direction. It's interesting to me that Saul wasn't really given direction, if I remember right, until he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then God gave him direction. Direction was given to Saul after he surrendered. And I would like to point out that direction given to us is no good. It doesn't profit us unless we have surrendered. After we have surrendered, then God will give us ample direction, or at least direction as we need it. And so the question that we could ask, are we living out the direction that God has given us? Are we living it out? What do you plan to do in 2019 as God gives direction? John chapter 14 and verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a test that you can have for your life as you think of this coming year. Well, there's more that we could talk about. I think I'm just going to go down and notice the testimony at the end of this chapter. As we see Paul, as we see Saul being stopped in his tracks, I'd like to read verse 20 through 22. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? And Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And so we have here a change man. Because he was willing to give up of his pursuits and his goals and his determination and have openness, and the list could go on, his life was changed, his surrender to Christ. And now, people looking on were amazed at the testimony of this man. And I'm simply going to ask the question, can people see by the testimony of our life which way we're traveling? As we've come to the end of 2018, what would people say of us? What will people say in 2019? And again, I believe Paul gives this testimony, 1 Timothy 4:12, or he's speaking to Timothy, I should say, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. What a test of life. And so, as you think of the road you're traveling, you'll have to answer the question, which direction are you traveling? What are you going to do about it next year? That's going to be in your lap. It's going to be in my lap what I do it for my life. But let's be faithful as we look at these checkpoints to pursue God in every aspect of our life. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.